Maybe the projector. We got it. There we go. Okay. Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend. Who would have thought that a Lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men. Counselor, Comforter, good morning. Good to see everyone today. A beautiful morning it is, and we praise the Lord that we're together here. That's the greatest of all, isn't it? To worship our God and our Father. So welcome. I have some announcements before we go on with our worship service. First of all, a big thanks to everyone that was here this week and helped with the church cleaning from top to bottom, and it looks beautiful. Social hall floor always shines like glass, and it's a wonderful week, and thank you for doing that. Thanks to Sherry Fryer for coordinating it, and Tim for his help too in all of it. God bless you. There is, on that note, if you go out, well, you'll probably go out into the social hall as we leave. There is a new clock you might notice above the kitchen there, and that was given in memory of Belva Heckenleibel by their family. They just put it up yesterday, so thank you for sharing that with us. It's very nice. Taylor Anderson is with us today, and she's going to be sharing for a little bit during our service about her work with the Navigators. She's in her second year with the Edge Corps, it's called. There's the offering box back there for our normal giving. There is an offering plate back there for our special offering for Taylor. So if you're giving to either, even for Taylor, that check gets made to the church. We give our support to her through the year. So it's a wonderful ministry that the Navigators do, and she's on the campus of the University of Minnesota, so we thank God for that. Also this evening, the FCA, we're having a prayer service at the baseball diamond, so over here by the livestock yard. That's the baseball diamond at 6 o'clock. We should be able to have it there. The weather, it looks like a beautiful day. A teacher actually had contacted me a month ago, I suppose, and asked, could we have a special prayer service for the start of school, just with everything going on? And I said, well, let's see what we can do. So we are. You can bring lawn chairs if you want to sit in the grass. The microphone will lower it down. It'll be pretty much in front of the concession stand area is where that will be. I've lined up some of our high schoolers to be helping out with it. So I hope you can come. It's important that we gather as a community for prayer for not just Menno, but as it says, our area schools and even beyond. So 6 o'clock this evening. Several announcements. The confirmation meeting with parents, that will just gather in those back pews there afterwards to have that meeting. So thanks for being here for that. Also, September is our church's month to deliver Meals on Wheels in the community. So there is a calendar in the narthex. If you can help with that, September is a nice mother what. Nice weather month, excuse me. Our next time will be 5 months later, so that probably won't be such a nice weather month. So if you can help out, it's always appreciated very, very much. I also want to tell you that this last Thursday night would have normally been our turn to serve at the banquet in Yankton. We do that every year. Well, this time around, they're only doing to-go meals, so they gave us the option, either prepare the meal, bring it down, just give it to us, and that's it, or if you'd like to give the money, and they'll prepare it and do it, and that's what we chose to do. We have some mission money in the memorial fund, so we were able to bless, 230 they fed Thursday night there through the banquet. So thank you. Also, if you didn't notice, hopefully the church bulletins are there on a table and back by the sound booth on a table instead of in the pews. We made that switch over this week. Lastly, I just want to mention the one arrangement of zinnias way on the left, that's from Calvin Hagee's garden. So thanks, Calvin. The one closest to the pulpit, that's from Jane Gramco. And, you know, we always pray for Travis, their son, Gary and Jane's. He's full-time in the Navy. And I don't know if you know or not, but he has had this English bulldog, right, named Loki, quite the dog. He's had, 12 years, Travis's companion. Oh, so I figured this would happen. Anyway, you know, our pets are very dear to us, right? And Loki died of cancer yesterday morning. So those flowers are in memory of Loki. Let's pray. Lord God, we love you and we praise you, and we're so thankful to be gathered here in this sanctuary to worship you, Jesus, as we've just recently sung. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. Your name is all powerful. And you have given us But such a wonderful privilege to use your name in prayer every moment of every day. And how wonderful that is. And you, Lord God, are in Christ our wonderful, merciful Savior, our comforter, our keeper, our counselor, our redeemer, our friend. You're the one that we do praise and worship and adore. So help us, Father, to do that, to worship you, to worship Jesus in spirit and in truth by the Holy Spirit of God. We thank you for filling this sanctuary with your goodness and your glory today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Our opening hymn is Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. And we sing of that as we praise him. Let's stand together, 572 in your hymnal, if you prefer to use that. Bumps. Praise the Lord. Well, but give each other an air wave or high five or something before you're seated. We'll have our joys and concerns here. So it's good to see Laverne Wagner's daughter, Sandy, here. Good to have you. Welcome from Hermosa. Glad to have you. Some other things that I have written down, certainly prayers for the school starting. Mano is Tuesday, Freeman is Wednesday, kids, and the academy is next week, I think. Okay, so we do want to pray, and we will. Some updates here for Marilee and Milo, how we continue to pray for them. Marilee is having a lower back surgery this coming Friday at Sioux Falls at the specialty hospital. So we pray for them. Milo had some scans, I think, this last Thursday and gets the report tomorrow, I believe. So we're going to lift them up. Terry Seiler, continued prayers for Fred and Terry. Certainly Terry had her first, the start of chemo this last Thursday, the infusion, and then came home with one of those chemo packs that we see and had that taken off yesterday. So I think that'll be every other week, the plan. And this coming Thursday, she meets with a radiologist regarding the tumor behind her eye. So a lot going on there. Be lifting them up in your prayers. Matha Hess, she is in the hospital in Yankton. Might get out of intensive care today, we'll see, but she tested positive for COVID on Thursday this last week. So prayers for them. She is improving. They're watching the kidney function. Is keeping her in intensive care right now. So if that improves, she should get to come out of intensive care. Continued prayers for Les Melhoff. He's in the hospital. Rehab, probably back into rehab again, it sounds like. So he's improving again, gradually. Continues prayers for Jimmy. Does he start back on chemo again, or did he? Tomorrow, probably starts back on chemo. Okay. So, anything else over here? Steve Pressler. Okay. Sherry Pressler's birthday is this Tuesday. Happy. Judy Headley shares your birthday. That's right. Sandy.
Laverne Wagner shares their birthday too.
He does. Laverne, is he going to be what? 94. Yeah, praise the Lord. Yeah, do you have anything to add about your Aunt Judy's birthday at all?
It is a banner year.
A banner year. Mm-hmm. We know. You do very well for 3/4 of a century, Judy. You do. You really do. Pat. Okay, good. Yeah, Lee Palmerville had cancer removed from his face this last week and came through that very well. Yes, and Jackie is, I don't know if I've said that, maybe I had. Jackie, Pat's sister, is here with us. She's been here for probably 3 weeks, I suppose, now, so it's always good to have her. Anything else? Okay, I get to make the announcement? All right. A big praise the Lord for Robert and Kristen Heckenleibel. Kristen is with child, and she's, I think, 12 weeks along, right? Amen. So we're excited for you guys, and we continue to pray that the rest of the term goes well. Amen. Jamie. Today is Brockton Kasurik's birthday. 13th. Another teenager in the house. Yay. Over here, Jai. Melanie Walter had birthday yesterday. Happy birthday to you. Okay. Oh, Jenna. Nora Miller is one today. All right. She what? Oh, yeah. It's her party and she can cry if she wants to. Sherry. Jennifer Schultz had her birthday yesterday. That's right. Happy birthday to you, Jennifer. Okay, let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, thank you for the joys, certainly, of these birthdays, many of them, and we ask that you bless each of these individuals, and you have, and we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for Robert and Kristen Heckenleibel and the little one that you're knitting together within her womb, as only you can do. Lord, I thank you for watching over that little one and bringing this pregnancy to full term, just letting your peace rest upon them and strength and health. And we pray that, Lord, over, we have a couple other expectant mothers within the congregation as well, and we lift them up to you. We thank you. As we always think of Psalm 139, which speaks so wonderfully as you knit these little ones together in the secret place. So we ask for your hand of protection upon them, and thank you for your mighty work in the wombs of these mothers, in Jesus' name. Lord, we want to pray for, certainly we'll pray again tonight, but we lift up our children, our teachers, our cooks, our custodians, our bus drivers, all that are a part, the administration, the school board of our system here in Menno and the surrounding area. And we do pray your protection upon the start of our school year. Lord, thank you that we're able to move forward. We ask for your blessing upon the school year in all kinds of ways. And Lord, as we come together and seek you tonight, we know many more prayers will be lifted up in that regard. Thank you, Father, for Marilee Hauk as she goes for surgery this Friday. We just lift her up and ask that you go before her in that way and guide the surgeon's hands with skill and precision, Father. We always ask. Thank you for being with Matha Hess and John. But Matha, as she's in the hospital, Lord, thank you for your power working in Jesus' name, ridding her of that virus. And we just praise you for your healing touch within her, with Terry Seiler, as we pray for her, Lord, a lot going on there, but you are greater than all. And we thank you for your supernatural power working together with what medical science can do. Lord, we lift her up and ask for healing and strength to both her and Fred. As well as Jimmy Whale, we continue to pray the same, and Les Melhoff and many others listed in our bulletin, Lord. You are the great physician. We know that. Father, we continue to pray for our nation, asking for revival, asking for an outpouring of your Spirit across this land that we so desperately need, that the nation would turn to you and realize, Jesus, that you are the one who is mighty to save. Thank you for our troops that serve you so faithfully abroad and at home. Keep them safe, we pray. Watch over the crops, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So before we have our offering time, I'm going to ask Taylor to come up, and she is going to share with us about what God is doing there. Yeah.
And then, yep, okay, cool. Yeah, so just a reminder, it has been a while since I've been here. My name is Taylor Anderson. I grew up in this church. My parents are Mark and Teresa. But yeah, so these are some pictures of this last year as I've been on staff with the Navigators. So yeah, this last year has been, it's been a lot of fun, and it's also been very difficult in growing. In the bottom right picture, you can see that's the staff that I worked with this last year. 9 of us at the U of M campus, working on with students and focusing on impacting them, sharing the gospel with them, and also building them up in Christ and their relationship with God, and just, yeah, helping them share the gospel as well. In the bottom left picture, there's a lot of them, so you can't exactly see all the faces, but that's all of our staff, their families, and our student leaders. So last year we had about 30 student leaders, and that's almost all of them. We had maybe a couple who were gone for study abroad and then came back in the spring, and some left in the fall, but we had about 30 in the whole year. I got to lead a group of 6 of them, women, and we met each Sunday. We'd meet as a large group and kind of talk about how we'd build each other up, how they can be learning to lead Bible studies and things like that. And then we'd break off into small groups, and I got to lead that small group more intentionally throughout the year and just kind of be pouring into them. And so those are my girls. We called they named themselves Tay's Tots. Each group had its own name, and they're like, we're going to call ourselves that. And I'm like, okay, I mean, if you want to. Two of them are in that middle picture. So it's Lydia and Christine. Those are two of my girls. And then the other one is Noah. That was from one night we did evangelism. We kind of try and do evangelism like once or twice in the semester. U of M has a lot of dorms on their campus because it's a large student population, but each dorm has its own dining hall. And so we'd go out into the dining halls, buy our own supper, and then we'd sit in the dining hall and try and just sit with some people that we don't know and just have conversations with them, kind of try and steer it towards like what their spiritual background is, what they think about spirituality, things like that. And so that was from one night when we went on to the St. Paul campus. That group of me, we went over there. But yeah, so Christine is just off my shoulder. She is a student that I got to meet with this last year. I kind of came to U of M, and my campus director was like, hey, I want you to meet with Christine this year. And I'm like, okay, who is she? But she is not a believer. She just graduated. She was in our student leadership group, but she kind of just helped planning things. So, like, she helped plan and organize our teams for NAV night. So, like, people who would greet, people who would help make the food. So, kind of just, like, planning things. She wasn't really involved in leading, which she was kind of okay with. She really liked. She just wanted to be in the community. She really liked how open and caring our community was. And so that's why she got involved and why she wanted to be more involved as a Catalyst student leadership member. But yeah, so she grew up in and around Christianity, but she had a lot of questions and doubts that she felt that she needed to answer before she took the step and of faith and just like trusting God. And so, and she kind of dabbled in like looking into other religions and things like that. But yeah, so meeting with Christine was definitely very different and kind of hard for me because I'd never met consistently with a non-believer. I'd always, at SDSU, I'd just met with girls who were already in my Bible study, so I knew them, and like we just kind of like started on like, okay, what do you want to learn? What do you need to like establish more? But with Christine, it was like, okay, what are these questions that you have? How do I go about this? But it was just still really good. We became really close. I was able to help give her some advice on, like, as she was a senior in college, what she should be thinking about, how she can be start applying to things and doing that well, but also helping her kind of ask her the questions that needed to be asked, kind of double check, okay, you said this. Like, because she grew up in and around Christianity, she knows a lot of the answers. Like, you'd ask her a question in Bible study, and she'd give a very good Christian answer, but you'd kind of come back later like, do you actually believe that, or do you just kind of say that because you think that's what we want to hear? And so just kind of asking more of those questions, like digging a little bit deeper of how much does she believe, how much did she actually trust in? And so it was just definitely hard, but it was still good. And so, yeah, she graduated in May, and she's been looking for a job in her field. But, yeah, Christine is one that you can be praying for, that she would, A, just find a job in this whole new world of COVID and not a lot of job security in some areas, but also just pray that she'd be having people continue to come into her life that'd be able to speak into her heart and just help, just be the Spirit speaking into her and just kind of helping quell those doubts and questions so that she can just be trusting God fully. But yeah, one of the other things I got to do at the U of M was lead a freshman Bible study at our St. Paul campus. The girls in the top right corner are three of my girls. There were four. But so from left to right, it's me, and then it's Lauren, Katrina, and Laura. Then we also, the other girl was Lexi, but she never made it into our pictures, which was kind of sad, I realized. But yeah, so those are my girls that were in my Bible study. They're all freshmen, And they were just incredible. I was so thankful and so blown away by them because they just wanted to get involved right away. And their hunger to learn more about God and just establish their relationship with Him was apparent from the first week. And they also just really bonded super well. They all lived in the same dorm. They were actually two sets of roommates. So Laura and Katrina lived together, and Lauren and Lexi lived together. And they just did everything together. They got meals. They planned when they'd get meals together. They'd plan when they'd ride the bus to Nav Night, our large group. It was just so sweet to see them grow together, and just also just see them like come well prepared to Bible study, and we just have really good conversations too. So that was just a lot of fun, and it just made leading Bible study really easy because I had a lot of other responsibilities and like my own staff Bible studies to do, and so just being able to come Monday nights and just looking forward to that and not feel like I had to be pulling teeth to get them to say anything. I got along especially well with Laura, and we have a closer picture in the top left. But I started discipling her in the spring. We kind of went through characteristics of God and just how that applied to us and how that helped us relate to Him. And I'm really looking forward to continue discipling her. It was a lot of fun just kind of seeing how understanding God more helped her understand how she related to Him and just how that just grew her relationship with God and just strengthened her faith. This summer she also did our summer training program, which was online. So I'm really excited to get together with her and kind of just talk more and help her process what that summer was and just see her grow more because she's also on her student leadership this year as a sophomore, and she'll be leading her own Bible study, which I'm really excited about to see her grow in that. Those are a lot of the things I did. I also got to lead our worship team. I was kind of leading that and just kind of helped coordinate and kind of just shepherd our student leaders who are a part of that so that they would lead. And then I'd just kind of be there to help. I'd print off the music, or if they had questions about if, like, a song was actually a good choice to have at Nav Night, like if it was actually theologically sound or more of a personal song versus a congregational song, kind of things like that. So it was just a lot of fun, something I hadn't exactly done. I'd led a couple of times, like, personally, like, given music, here you lead. But I hadn't actually led a group, and so that was also very growing, but it was very good. So this last year was also very growing for myself. Learned a lot about me and how I react to things, and also just my personal relationship with God as well. When some things are very hard, I learned I can't just always be relying on my own strength. I need to be trusting in God and just leaning on Him in those times. And that even though it's as good, it is good to be spending time with people. I need to be spending at least as much, if not more, sometimes with God than just with His people. Because that was something, the fall semester, I was almost prioritizing just spending time with students. I wanted to be with students, pouring into them. And then COVID hit, and I couldn't be meeting with students. I couldn't be on campus. And I was like, God, I was just kind of like, hey, I'm here. Spend time with me. That's definitely something that I've been learning and trying to be growing in. That was kind of this last year boiled down. Definitely a lot more happened, but those are the big highlights. This next year, U of M is planning to be on campus. You talk to students, though, and it sounds like some of them only have two classes that are on campus in person. The rest of them are online, and those are the most classes that people have. So it's a lot of, they're in the cities possibly, and just taking online classes. So we don't exactly know what it will look like. We do that. We actually make those decisions tomorrow. I head back tonight, and we'll start making those final full decisions tomorrow in the next couple of days. we're definitely planning on meeting one-on-one in person, so a lot of the discipleship, still encouraging that in person. Doing small group Bible studies, I'll be doing that for sure in person, unless like the students would prefer to do it over Zoom, but we definitely want to encourage them to do that in person. Large group is the very big uncertainty, because it's Minnesota has a lot more restrictions because we're a higher population, especially in the cities, population density is a lot more, and so it's a lot more restrictions in that. And so we meet usually in a church setting, so I think currently it's half capacity in churches with social distancing, and where we meet is in a campus church, and so I think the sanctuary holds about 150, 200 at max. So we'd definitely be able to do that, but it's kind of how are we going to do that? What can we do? Things like that. And so do we want to spend the time to set up all of that and then take it down again and kind of all of those things? So definitely be praying for that as we make those decisions the next couple of days. But yeah. I also wanted to take some time just to kind of personally thank the congregation for supporting me last year. And yeah, just helping me get on campus. Pastor Mike mentioned last week that the church itself, that offering was able, amounted to about $2,400. And that was what the church was able to partner with me at. The thing is, I also had some people personally partner with me, and they gave monthly gifts, which I was very thankful for, because the combined amount with those people who partnered with me and the churches was actually about $12,000, which I was not expecting. It was a lot, and it meant a lot. And so that just really meant a lot, and I just want to thank you all, and just, I'm always surprised and just blown away by the generosity of this church. And I don't know if Pastor Mike knew that had happened. I don't think I'd mentioned it to him if people had said that, but I was just blown away last year, and it was just a huge bump for me just to be pushed onto campus, literally. I just wanted to give a personal thank you for that. That is my update. And it's kind of just another ask. If you would want to know what it means to do a monthly gift, like, I will be at the back if you have questions about other things that happened this year. This year, I helped with the online summer program too, which was very different. I just didn't know if I had time to share about that. If you have any questions about what I'm doing if you know of anyone who's going to the U of M or SDSU, actually, I know the staff there and would want to be involved in a campus ministry, please talk to me afterwards, because a lot of it, freshmen are not being able to be met in person. We usually do a survey, like, in person, like, hey, we're doing a survey, and like doing a raffle of all the surveys, and they get a $50 Amazon gift card or $100 gift card to Buffalo Wild Wings or some big sports bar grill, so that just free food. But we're not able to do that this next year at a lot of the campuses. So if you know of anyone who's at SDSU or U of M, I'd love, and they would want to get involved into a campus ministry, I'd love to get them involved and contact them with either our staff at U of M or the staff at SDSU. That is my update.
Thank you. So it is exciting to see what God is doing, and praise the Lord for that, the gift from the congregation. I was not aware of all the extra giving, how wonderful that is, and we will be praying for you, Taylor. So again, there's our regular offering box. the big white one. There's an offering plate to my left. The checks just go to Salem Reformed Church, unless you're giving monthly. Otherwise, you know, that's a different deal. But thank you. I want to just read Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. It says this, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations.'" That's what's happening. Maybe you say, "Well, I can't go here, there, wherever." Taylor is on our behalf. We have plenty of work to do right here where we live. "Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. We're going to sing the Lord's Prayer here in place of the doxology. So if you would stand, please. Our Father, which art in heaven, Father. To you belongs all the praise and the glory, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And so we give today. We bring our offerings, our tithes here into your storehouse for this local church, but also for what you've called Taylor to do for another year at the University of Minnesota. And we pray that we can again be a wonderful blessing to her for this next year. And thank you for all that gave throughout last year. What a blessing. Lord, we do lift up this young lady, Christine, that Taylor has spent much time with, planting much seed from your word into her life. And we thank you, Lord, that as your word says, it does not return to you void, but it goes forth and accomplishes that you purposed for it to do. So we pray for her eyes to be opened completely, Father, that she would come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you for the ministry that Taylor does there. Give her strength, give her wisdom, Lord, that she would be salt and light on that campus for you in Jesus' name. And Father, we confess our faith together now through the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the one holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. And if the children want to come for the Kingdom Kids time, you are welcome to do that.
Good morning, boys and girls. How are you today? You ready for this week?
Yeah.
All right, school. Well, one thing we always bring to school is a what?
A backpack.
So I decided to bring mine today. Now, I want to know who's going into kindergarten. Would you like to be my helper? Are you the only one, McKinley? Come on up. I bet you're very excited for school, aren't you? Yes. Well, we have some things in my backpack that you might need in school, because when we go to school, we have to be prepared, right? All right, you just reach your hand in there and pull something out. We'll talk about it. What's that?
A pencil.
Do we need pencils in school?
Yes.
Because we need to?
Draw,
right? Right, we need to have those. Those are important. Oh, we got a paper. Just pull out one at a time. Oh, not only do we need to prepare physically with our things, we need to be prepared spiritually. What's this say? Kindness. You know, the fruit of the Spirit are talked about in Galatians 5:22. One of those is kindness. How can we be kind at school? One thing. You can help people. You can be kind and help people. You can help a friend that needs help on their work. You can open a door for someone, right? Okay, find something else. Oh, I got a lot of those papers, don't I? Oh, no, that's paper. What? This is just a pad of paper, right? Do you need paper in school?
Yes.
Why? To write things on, everything you're learning. Okay, what else? Pick something fast. Oh, what do we need here? Crayons, so you can color. What are other things you need? Markers, colored pencils. Depends on your age, right? Oh, we got some more words here. What's that one say?
Love.
You know what? When you go to school, you remember who loves you the most?
God
does, and you're never alone. And when we go to school or preschool, wherever we go, God wants us to share his love with others. Maybe there's someone in your class that doesn't go to church, and you can invite them. All right, here's another one. Well, you picked out three. We'll just do these. Patience. How can you show patience in school? Wait your turn.
Wait for recess.
Wait to go to lunch. Wait for 3:30 to be over, whatever time you get out, 3:18. Wait for your birthday, right? Waiting patiently. And here's a good one. Self-control. What is self-control? Controlling yourself. So when things don't go your way, do you throw a tantrum and get all mad and cry and scream at school? No, no, no. We have to control ourselves, right? Wait for things without throwing tantrums. You know, like in school, when your teacher asks a question, instead of just blurting out the answer, you can show self-control by waiting to be called on, right? That is talking about self-control. How about at recess? You want so bad to go down the slide. Do you cut in front of somebody else in line? No, you do not. You wait your turn. Okay, are we about done? Let's see if there's anything else in our backpack. Pull them out. A pen. So do some of you older kids, do you have to have pens in school? Yeah, good. Is that it? I think there might be one more thing. Oh, these are dryer sheets. We don't need those at school. Last one. This is... You remember when you go to school, that you have the joy of the Lord. When things don't go our way, remember, we get our joy ultimately from God, all right? And show joy to others. So when you go to school this week and your backpack is all filled with stuff to take, remember to take the fruit of the Spirit with you that the Holy Spirit's given you. Thanks, McKinley. Let's pray. Father, we love you and we just are so excited to go to school this week, Lord, to get back in it. And we thank you that, well, we're all prepared with our backpacks and our supplies. Help us to remember that we also have been given the fruit of the Spirit to show others your love at school. And let these kids be a blessing and a light wherever they go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can get a paper behind me from Cindy. And you guys have a great week.
Thank you, Ann. While the kids are going back, we're going to sing 564, Just a Closer Walk with Thee. We'll just sing the first two verses on this. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, that is the cry of our heart, to walk closer in fellowship and communion with you, our Lord and our God. We do that, we know, by looking into your word and by praying and communing with you and fellowshipping with one another. So, Father, as this time we look again into your word, we ask for you to speak to our hearts. We ask for you to open the eyes of our understanding. And Lord, I ask that you would speak through me by your Spirit to those gathered here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We are going to be in Numbers chapter 21 this morning. The verses 4 through 9, Numbers 21. Now, if you hadn't guessed already, the service is going to go a little longer, okay? So I'm just telling you now. Numbers 21, verse 4. It says, they, that's the children of Israel, okay, they're out in the wilderness, let me say that first. They traveled from Mount Hor along the route to the sea, to the Red Sea, to go around Edom. But the people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God and against Moses and said, why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the desert? There is no bread. There is no water, and we detest this miserable food. Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people, and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, we sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us. So Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, make a snake and put it up on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live. So Moses made a bronze snake and put it up on a pole. Then when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, he lived. Amen. This passage, I've thought about this passage many times, especially over the last 5 months, thinking about it. And, you know, when we started out in March on this whole craziness of the pandemic, much of the talk at least that we would hear was, what is God saying? What is God saying to us as a nation? And as these months have gone on, to me it seems that, unfortunately, this whole thing has become so political, which is very sad, that we aren't hearing those statements, that all side of it is overshadowed the part of what is God saying to us in the midst of this. And my thoughts again went back to this passage here in Numbers chapter 21. Let me just give a little more of the context. When we come to in this time, actually the end of chapter 20, you would find that Aaron, the high priest, has just died. So remember Moses, Aaron, Miriam, two brothers and a sister. God had called Aaron to help Moses and Miriam both. So Miriam had passed a little earlier there. In the first verse of chapter 20, you see Miriam's death. The end of the chapter, you see Aaron's death. Moses, he's still living, but his time is coming. So what do we see? We see the second generation of people coming up into leadership positions out there in the wilderness. The second generation. And God is going to deal with them right here. Because number one, if you're doing your outline, number one there, they begin to murmur. Listen to the first verses again. As they traveled from Mount Hor along the route to the Red Sea is where they had come across supernaturally into the wilderness. To go around Edom, that's a whole nother deal there. The people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God and against Moses and said, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the desert? There is no bread, there is no water, and we detest this miserable food." You know what the New Living says where that phrase, "we detest this miserable food"? It says it this way. "And we hate this wretched manna." Whoo, that was a dangerous thing to say. But let's talk about that. They grew impatient along the way. They felt like they were backtracking in the wilderness. They were, right? What were they? They're like, "We have already been this way before. Why are we going back around the Red Sea? We just came across there. Why were they wandering around? Because of the disobedience of the first generation, right? When the 12 spies were sent in to spy out the land after they came across the Red Sea, there's a verse in Deuteronomy, I didn't look that one up, but it says basically it was only an 11-day journey when they came across the Red Sea in the wilderness to the border of Canaan, the promised land. 11 days. And they were there at the border, the 12 spies sent in, and we know, right? 10 of them come back. "We cannot take that land. There's giants in that land." 2 of them come back, Joshua and Caleb. "We are well able to take that land because God has given it to us." It's so often the same today. "We can't do it. We can't do it. No, no, no." And then there's a few that say, "You know what? No, God says we can and we can." But those 10 spies persuaded the whole nation, some 2 million is estimated, "We can't do it." And what did God say? "All of those, that generation above the certain age and up, are going to die in the wilderness. You're going to be in this wilderness 40 years because of your disobedience and rebellion." Boy, we can get in the same attitude, can't we? We all can, of being impatient, waiting on God. What's he doing? Why isn't he answering? This is never going to work. And on it goes. With their complaint against the manna, as the New Living says, we hate this wretched manna. That manna was a type of foreshadowing of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. That's why that was such a dangerous thing for them to say. That was pointing ahead to Jesus. In the Gospel of John, chapter 6, 3 times at least in that chapter, he calls himself saying, I am the bread of life. I am the living bread that has come down from heaven. We see those phrases. So that's one of the things that God was not going to take at all. Think of the miracles that they had seen coming across the Red Sea. The blessings of God, incredible. The water that was bitter becoming sweet, and the manna every morning, and the quail that God would bring in because they said, we don't have any meat. You know, every step of the way, every hardship they came to, it was grumbling, grumbling, grumbling. And God would deal with them, that whole first generation. And now he's going to deal with the second generation too. You know, every generation has got to come to a fresh living relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not just because grandpa and grandma walk with the Lord that the son or the grandchildren, son or daughter, grandchildren, are going to walk with the Lord. That is not just a given. It has to be fresh for every generation. See, they were so blessed. God providing them for them in incredible ways, they just started taking it for granted. And I tie this into us, our nation, and how blessed we are in incredible ways. And as I ministered, well, that was the Sunday before we went to the hills when I had a text from Travis, and I read to you that he's been a lot of places around the world, and he says, this is still the best. And to that I say amen. But we got a lot of work to do. We have been blessed incredibly, haven't we? And yet, we take so much for granted. We hear comments and the thoughts, I'm not saying here or you wouldn't be here, but largely across the nation. Who's God? What do we need God for? We don't need him. We can do it ourselves. Just yesterday, I think it was supper, we had the news on and there was a commercial again from one of the big pharmaceutical companies. And what do they go to? Science. We can solve all this because of science. And I say thank God for science, but they're forgetting it is God who has given them that wisdom to do everything. The inventions all comes from God. Yes, it takes hard work, but it comes from God. And he seems to be largely left out of the whole picture. Last year, it's a wonderful thing that happened in our state when our legislators and governor then signed into law that we had to have a sign in God we trust in our schools. Wonderful. But how sad it is that it takes a law to pass that and allow it in our nation today. God says in Deuteronomy chapter 8, I'm just going to mention this quickly, he warns them before ever they get into that promised land. He said, I'm telling you, when you get into that promised land and you build your houses and they're great and wonderful and you plant your crops and fields and have your jobs and all and you increase in your wealth, here it is. Do not say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability. He gives us the ability to produce wealth, and so he confirms his covenant with us. Boy, we got to remember that always. Second, okay, first they murmur, second comes God's judgment. He's swift to act here. Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people, and many Israelites died. Verse 6. See, much of that first generation had died off. It was their sin that left them there 40 years. The second generation following the same pattern, and God was dealing with it. Because of their disobedience, God sends these poisonous snakes. I read even in one commentary, it says in that part of the world where they would have been, there were snakes that would be just under the surface of the sand. You couldn't even see them. Going along and bite them right there. But this was something more than that, that God did. It wasn't just snakes that were there. It says God sent venomous snakes among them, and they were being bitten with toxic, deadly poison to which they had no remedy, could do nothing about in and of themselves, and they were in a panic. I want us to see the correlation on this between the physical dilemma they were in and the spiritual dilemma that we are all born with. Because they were bitten naturally by a snake with that deadly poison. We, every one of us on the planet, have been infected with a disease, 100% of us, and that disease is sin. And that is a far worse disease than any natural disease could ever be. 100% we are. And I wonder, with the children of Israel, between verse 6 and 7, how long did that take? We're not told. I doubt it was instant, because they're no different than we are. We can go so long struggling, and finally, I think we need a special prayer service. I'm not saying that against our service tonight. I'm glad we have it, and we need to do it. But sometimes we can wait so long and suffer so long, and then finally we say, I think we better get serious in prayer about this. How long? There were 2 million of them. That camp was large as they camped around the tabernacle there in the wilderness. How long did it take for them to realize it was their sin that was causing this problem? We don't know. How long will it take our nation to realize our departure from God and His Word is a large part of the issues we deal with today? I'm not talking just in the pandemic. I'm talking far, far beyond that. The race, the riots, and all that side of things, the destruction in our cities, and on we could go. When God, through Christ, is the answer. So what happened? So Moses prayed for the people there. But back to verse 7, it says, then the people came to Moses and said, we sinned, Moses, we have sinned. When we spoke against the Lord and against you, we sinned. See, when they were grumbling against Moses, what'd you bring us out here for? Just to die in the wilderness? We have no food. We have no water. We hate this manna. They're actually speaking against God, aren't they? Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us. So Moses prayed for the people. He prayed for the people. That sounds a little bit like Jesus hanging on the cross, right? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Moses prays for the people. Number 3, we come to God's mercy in it. And thank God for His mercies that are new every morning. The Lord says to Moses, and God answered, make a snake, put it up on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live. Anyone, say anyone.
Anyone.
Again, say anyone.
Anyone.
Thank you. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live. So Moses made this bronze snake, put it up on the pole. Then when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, he lived. That's God's mercy in action there. What is God's mercy? It's when God does not give us what we do deserve. They deserved death. What do we deserve? What we deserve was death in hell. What we deserve is that. But God did something about it for us too, didn't He? Yes, praise the Lord. See this snake. Why the snake? Here's a couple blanks. That snake was a symbol of Christ's identity with the curse of sin on our behalf. The snake was a symbol of Christ's identity with the curse of sin on our behalf. How did sin enter in? We know, we should all know that, right? In the Garden of Eden, Satan basically possesses that serpent, comes in, tempts Adam and Eve. They sin, they eat of the fruit, they die spiritually, and we are born spiritually dead ever since. Every race of people, everybody on the planet. And what about the cross? Jesus. God made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. And that happened on the cross. Thank God for his mercy. This account in Numbers 21, lifting that serpent up on that pole, is the first foreshadowing, I'll say it that way, the first foreshadowing that we see in the Old Testament pointing ahead to Jesus being lifted up on that cross. Those verses, first time we see that. It's not the first promise of the Messiah by any means, but the first foreshadowing that he was going to be lifted up in his death on that cross. Four, look and live. Look and live, he says. Moses made that bronze snake, put it up on a pole. Then when anyone, say anyone, who was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, he lived. He lived. Praise the Lord. You know what? They had to go. Jamie, if you want to try and get those pictures on there, please. They had to go where that pole was. We're talking 2 million of them, most likely, in the wilderness. I don't have a scripture verse for this. This is just my thought. See it in the center of that? What's the shape of that, first of all? A cross. This is so cool. In the center of that is the tabernacle, right? Portable. As they moved around in the wilderness, they'd set that up, they'd take it down. That's where the Ark of the Covenant was. See, that's the glory, the cloud of glory coming out of the tabernacle. God gave Moses very specific instructions of where the 12 tribes were to camp around that tabernacle. You have 3 tribes on each side. That makes 12. They are numbered by population in the Old Testament. People, much smarter than I, have taken the numbers of each tribe and where they would sit in reference to that tabernacle and laid out what it might have looked like. And I love that. It is so cool. A couple of 1,500 years before Jesus was born, if you could have taken a drone, didn't have them, up above and taken a picture, that's what was seen, the cross. There's one more, I think. There it is again. Isn't that neat in that valley? So, but listen, they had to go to where the bronze snake was to be healed. Other than that, it was simply their belief, their obedience, their belief in what God through Moses was saying. You go, if you're bitten, you go, you look at that, and you will be healed. You will live. And many of them were by faith. They could do nothing more. It's pointing to Jesus. I hope we see that. It's pointing to Jesus. Look and live. That word look in the Hebrew means to behold, to gaze upon it, and you will be healed. What did Jesus say in John chapter 3 when he's talking to Nicodemus, verse 14 and 15? He says this, Nicodemus, listen. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, you might say, oh, did that really happen? People that doubt God's word, did that really happen? Oh, blah, blah, blah. Well, you know what? Jesus said it did. So it did. End of the subject right there. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man himself must be lifted up, that everyone, say everyone, Thank you. You're good today. Who believes in him may have eternal life. Everyone. Verse, and then it, that's 14, 15. What? 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that what? Whosoever, yes, believeth in him shall have everlasting life and will not perish. Anyone, everyone, whosoever, sounds like it includes pretty much all. Who will look? Who will believe? By faith, right? So what, with this disease that we've been bitten by, sin, infected with, which we can do nothing about in and of ourselves, but God did for us in Christ, didn't he? John 14, 6, we know it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one, say no one, can come to the Father except through me. Acts 4:12, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men whereby we must be saved. So lifted up, Jesus had to be lifted up, just as God told Moses, you make a bronze serpent, you put it up on a pole, everyone who looks to it will live. Jesus said, I will be lifted up. In the same way, that means that you give him all your attention. That means that you elevate him above all others, trusting in Christ alone, right? By the way, let me say this first, and I'll go to what I was going to say. The sad part of that bronze serpent in the wilderness that God told Moses to make, you find that referenced again in 2 Kings chapter 18, verses 1 through 4. It's in the meditation of your bulletin. 2 Kings chapter 18, Hezekiah is king of Judah, and he's purging Israel of the idols and the idolatry. And I won't read it all. This king, just 25 years old, and he is serving the Lord with all his heart. And what does he do? He removed the high places where they worship false gods. He smashed the sacred stones, cut down the Asherah poles. Those are false gods of idolatry. Right here. He broke into pieces the bronze snake Moses had made. For up to that time, the Israelites had been burning incense to it. Do you know how long that was from Moses to Hezekiah? 700 years. Is that something? 700 years. Now, I can't say for 100% that was that original bronze snake, but I got a pretty strong hunch it is, because Israel was very good about protecting their heritage and those things, the Ark of the Covenant, the Ten Commandments, those things. They were very careful. But the sad part is, somewhere in that time, probably not too many years after it happened, they had turned that bronze serpent into an idol and were worshiping that. Oh, people, we can be so prone to do those things because, oh, a miracle happened with that bronze snake. We're never going to get rid of it. How many times over those years, I wonder, maybe somebody said, hey, I think we need to set the bronze snake up again. Maybe God will do again what he did. Let's look at it and see. People do that today with shrines. You see them around. Just because a miracle happened at a certain place does not mean we worship that place or that thing. It is God and Christ alone that we worship. What I was going to say there is when we went to Israel 2014 and we got to go over into Jordan for 2 days, and one of the things we did, we got to go up on the top of Mount Nebo, that's in Jordan. That is where God took Moses when he said, you're not going in, Moses, because of the sin he did, which can't go into that, unless we want to go till noon. No. You can't go in, but I'll let you look at it. And so we were up there, and you can see miles and miles of Israel from Mount Nebo in Jordan. But the thing that I remembered was on top of Mount Nebo today, there is a monument, I wouldn't say it's an idol, but of that pole and the bronze serpent around it. It is there today. So I didn't see anybody worshiping it or anything like that, but we did get to see it. So let's wrap this up here. What's God saying today to us? I said, we know the answer. The answer is in Christ. What is God saying to America today? The answer is Jesus. Now, I imagine every one of us sitting here today, including myself, have very strong thoughts on the elections this fall. But I'm going to tell you one thing. The answer alone is not in whoever is in that White House. The answer